You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 9, Episode 7 coming your way. Today, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever, and we're brought to you by our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. I'm back from Bulgaria, delighted to say Ireland with back-to-back wins. It's been a long time since that has happened for sure, so we'll actually open the show by chatting a bit about the national team. We'll be looking back at the first division fixtures from the weekend. I managed to get to three games over 4 days there, so I was delighted with that. The two Ireland games and obviously the Longford game, which was very interesting to say the least. And we've got the Premier Division returning this week, so we will be previewing those games as we play the Between the Stripes LOI podcast predictions league. We'll have a few other little bits and pieces to touch on as we make our way through the show. But Gary, good to have you back on the pod. And as I said, it's not too often we open a pod by speaking about Ireland, and it's not too often in particular we're talking about Ireland having won back-to-back competitive games. I think that was the first time since 2019.
That long ago, and probably so, yeah. Probably playing against nobody, wasn't it, back then? Like, it could have been
Gibraltar and
Some other egots, yeah, World Devils. But look, I think it's really positive. I know it's only Bulgaria, and it was in, but it was still a playoff. But I think one thing I took from it, I don't think Bulgaria are any great shakes at all.
No,
and it would have been another significant low point in the recent history of the national football team to come out on the wrong side of that tie. Happy enough with the performance, I think, across the two games. There's still a bit of lethargy in it, isn't it? Like, there's still a bit of slowness. Like, yeah. Nathan Collins
sees way too much of the football. Way too much of the football. I said that on Sunday night there. It's almost like every attack has to go through Nathan Collins. And his distribution over the two games was absolutely woeful. I thought he was one of our worst performers over the two games.
Yeah, some of the passes that he was attempting,
especially over in Bulgaria, some crazy stuff going on inside his own area, putting Kelleher under serious pressure at times.
Absolutely. Like we could have been in a real situation over in Bulgaria, you know, taking back, like, you know, a deficit.
Mm.
And that would have really changed the complexion of the game on Sunday there if, you know, Ireland went into that game 2-1 down as opposed to 2-1 up. I think they would have got it over the line at the same time. I think there was enough of quality. But, like, as you said, like, some of the kamikaze stuff that Collins was doing over in Bulgaria, and he had a couple of incidents of it in Dublin as well. But I think Ireland just had a bit more quality, individual quality, over the two legs to get it done. I thought Finnazaz was quite good. I know he's
brilliant over the two games, yeah.
Really impressed with Troy Parrott as well.
Were you, yeah?
Why were you not?
I wasn't overly impressed with him, no.
But I think, like, I'm trying to, obviously, firstly, be a bit more positive. You know, Ireland did win two games in the space of a few days, so that's nice. But also, I thought his assist for Azaz's goal over in Bulgaria, I thought was absolutely just
Their keeper made it very easy for us over there, though.
Yeah, he was brutal. But, like, I think, you know, I'm trying to be more...
Yeah, well, look, if I take you back to probably a year or 2 years ago on this pod, we would have been talking about maybe semi-decent performances under Kenny, but no results. And you were the man that was saying, even in the early days, when I remember me and you having a row going home one night after that Lithuania game. On cloud nine. It was a Troy Parrott scored the unbelievable goal.
Yeah.
And you were texting me like, oh, that was dur. And I was like, you ever go out of it? Like, Ireland's won. Come on, be happy. And like, that kind of continued for a while. And then the results dried up.
And we never had too many results either.
Yeah.
Kenny.
Whereas now, I actually don't think we played overly well across the two games.
No.
Particularly when you compare the level, when you take into account the level of opposition, I thought Bulgaria were one of the worst teams I've seen Ireland play outside of the real minnows. But we got the result. And we scored two lovely goals on Sunday, I have to say, as well. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'll not be running away with myself just yet that we're going to qualify for the World Cup or anything like that. Job done. We're still in League B. Happy enough with that. But I think you're right. There's still lots of room for improvement.
certainly is lots of room for improvement. I don't want to be overly negative, but there has to be a bit more, I don't know, pace or tempo or something like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you get onto the front foot, but still we seem to be, as you said, Nathan Collins seeing so much of the ball. It was extremely infuriating at times, but I think the goals were quite good, were taken quite well, I have to say, particularly in Dublin. I thought there was, and also like even our old friend Matt Doherty was a really good run from deep, well spotted, and was brave enough to head it into the net. So like there was lots of nice stuff, but I think I'd be concerned about like a proper test. Like even Senegal would be a tough game.
Yeah.
In the Aviva, I think
the long and short of it is that first window for the qualifiers that will literally decide our entire group. The home game against Hungary and the away game to Armenia. If we get two bad results there, it ball bars game over.
Yeah, it is. It's in a heap very quickly. Yeah. And you know, whatever about, you know, you don't want to be facing into, you know, 1 or 2 points from those two games and then heading over to Portugal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is not ideal. That would be suboptimal now. You know, whatever, imagine if you had 6 points going into those game, into the Portuguese game.
Yeah, pressure's off, free hit.
No, I wouldn't even say free hit. You have something to defend. You have something to hang on to. You have a positivity running into that game. You're looking forward to it. You know, there's lots of stuff to be, you know, getting involved with in that game. You're like, right, if we get a draw here, next thing you know, Nathan Collins shows up with a header in the 92nd minute in Dublin to beat them. You know, you don't know what can happen then. So I think there needs to be a serious focus on the first two games. I know that won't be until September, and hopefully we'll be heading to both of those games, please God. But I think
I know Jaime was talking about trying to get more friendlies now in June, aside from the games against Senegal and Luxembourg. I know he's talking about trying to get extra games, so that's probably the right way to be thinking, because those games in September are absolutely crucial. On the Bulgarian trip, I know you didn't make it across, but quite enough little city, Plovdiv, not a whole pile going on in it, but clean and tidy, and there was no hassle. We were well looked after by the local police over there. They certainly kept any potential danger away from us. It actually added to the experience getting marched to the stadium with like 300 or 400 riot police around you. It was very, very different. So no, I enjoyed the whole trip, I have to say. I'm very, very cheap, so that's always a good thing. But look, let's talk about League of Ireland matters, Gary. And just before we go into the First Division review, the breaking news as we're recording is that Darren Murphy has left Finn Harps. What's your reaction?
I don't know if I'm surprised or what to really make of it. I didn't hear much, you know, jibber-jabber in advance of this announcement. It was a very tough start to the season. And even though we've been talking about the limitation of the team, still won 5-0 there the other day against Bray. Yeah. So it's strange. It's possibly a strange move, but in my estimation, it might be something that has been thought about for a little while. Wish him all the best. It seems to be his own decision.
Yeah, I seen one of the papers there had the headline up online, first casualty of the League of Ireland season. I thought that was a bit harsh, because I think from looking into it, it looks like it's very much a case of Murphy making the decision. I know he's been heavily linked with Loughall, so I think that's quite local to him as well. So it might be just a case an opportunity's come up that he feels he can't turn down. He had only not long ago signed a 3-year contract with Finn Harps. Not many contracts that length are handed out in the League of Ireland, let alone the First Division. So
yeah.
Harps obviously felt this was the man to lead the project going forward. So I think it's fair to say this is a significant setback for Finn Harps, and we'll just have to see how they respond. I suppose they've had a few different types of managers since Ollie Horgan left. They tried the Dave Rogers thing, didn't really work. Darren Murphy was going to be more of a slow burner approach by the looks of things. So interesting to see who they might find now to.
Yeah, it'll be tough. You know, you always have, as well as that, like you have the location difficulty as well. So it's going to be an interesting, you know, person that they're going to have to get in there. Like, is there someone maybe from the NAFL that might be available, or, you know, someone like that might be able to head across over to Ballybuffet? But, yeah.
Like, it's important for Harps. I think we can all see it's a longer-term project they're playing with at the minute. They're not going to be challenging for promotion this season or maybe next. But at the same time, you don't want the team to come uncompetitive either, because that's when interest starts to dwindle. And in fairness to the Harps fans now, over the last couple of seasons, still getting nearly, I think, close to 1,000 in most games. They've been really well supported. But
yeah,
results like the other night are absolutely key just to keeping that little bit of momentum, that little bit of spirit going. So, yeah, the big decision coming up for the board there at Harps. But look, let's talk about the game I was at, when we were both at it on Friday in Oriel Park. Dundalk 2, Longford Town 1. And the town putting up a really spirited display here. But Dundalk, a moment of magic from the lad Parashiv, who came on. He set up the winner for Owen Kenny with about 15 minutes to go. But Dundalk, they had the huff and puff on the night. It wasn't easy work, like many of us maybe expected.
Yeah, I was far more impressed with the town, to be quite honest. You know, there is a full time team playing against a, you know, nearly brand new enough Longford Town side. I was quite impressed with. I thought Longford Town were quite disciplined.
Yeah.
And worked extremely, extremely hard. But I think, like, I just think it was probably just a bit too much for them. You know, maybe if this game was a bit further on into the season, they might have done a bit better. They might have been a bit more together, because, you know, they've already played a game less as well. That Wexford game, I think, is going to be in the first week of April, the refixed one. So maybe a couple more games, and then to play Dundalk and Oriel Park, it might have gone a bit further for them. But also shocking decision from the referee for the penalty situations on both counts for Dundalk. That was quite poor refereeing.
I think the second one's a penalty.
Oh, second one is a penalty, but like, it was a mile offside, like, you know, the tap in.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well, look, they
should have never ever heard, like,
changed the decision. So not often they actually do that. So I suppose you've got to give them credit. Yeah, they maybe didn't reach the decision in the swiftest or most stylish manner, but they got the decision right in the end. But I didn't think the first one was a penalty, although maybe I can see why it's given, but it did look a little bit soft. But I think Eric Yorra's got to be cuter there. He can't be just...
It was Erhu, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, Erhu, sorry, yeah. He kind of bowled into him a little bit. Look, it reminds me a little bit of a penalty Kyle O'Connor gave away against Harps a couple of years ago when he was only a rookie. Do you remember that? He kind of ploughed into the back of...
Yeah, that was only 4 or 5 games in as well.
Yeah. It's kind of a green mistake, isn't it? Like, it's just... going too fast, can't put the brakes on, and someone like Dean Ebbe is going to feel that little bit of contact and go down. But look, from Longford, I fully agree with everything you're saying. Really, really hard work on display. And I think that's the word everyone's been used about the Longford Town team this season, even when results haven't gone their way. They've been working very hard, and I think that's why the home fans are really sticking with the team at the moment, working very, very hard. Probably didn't impose themselves on the game enough in the second half. I know that's very easy to say sitting up in the stand, like they're away from home in Oriel Park against the team everyone expects to win the league, but they didn't really string 2 or 3 passes together at any stage. Really struggled to get their foot on the ball, and
there was a couple of times where they recovered the ball high up the field and could have really done some damage to Dundalk, because there was a bit of, you know, when Dundalk had so much of the ball, they became a bit careless with it at times, and Longford Town were able to win possession. But,
well, I actually noticed that I was more impressed with the first half performance, because Longford actually turned over the ball in the Dundalk final third quite a good bit in the first half. Their pressing game was very, very good. Whereas in the second half, I just felt they sat into their shell a little bit more, maybe tiredness, and they were just hacking the ball away a bit carelessly at times, and Dundalk were coming back at them. But I spoke to a couple of Dundalk fans after this, and they felt, oh, you know, Dundalk could have won this 5 or 6-1. I don't see how, because Harry Howick's made very few saves. He made one long-range save from Owen Kenny, which I thought was standard enough. There was a couple of headers Dean Ebbe should have done better with, but he ended up looping them into the goalkeeper's hands. They didn't really test the goalkeeper. I think the stats show Dundalk had 15 or 16 shots at goal, but I thought they were quite wasteful on the evening. And as I said, they had to huff and puff, and it was only for the bit of magic from Parashiv. A lad I seen in pre-season was instantly impressed with.
Yeah,
he looks like he's going to be a talent, and Kieran Kilduffy spoke very highly of him. It's his bit of magic that opens up the Longford Town defence, and Owen Kenny scores the winner. But I know Dundalk were missing a couple of players through international call-ups, as were Longford as well. They were missing maybe their best midfielder in Emre Topku. But like, it's hard to have sympathy for Dundalk fans saying, oh, we were missing this player, missing that player. You still look at them having Daryl Horgan, Dean Ebbe, A. Dervin. They had more than enough quality. Harry Grew more than enough quality on the pitch for it to be more comfortable than this, as you said, against a Longford Town team that's been cobbled together in the space of a few months, and a lot of lads getting their first taste of League of Ireland football. So I wasn't overly impressed with Dundalk. I'm sure any Dundalk fans listening will say this is sour grapes, but I wasn't impressed with them against Treaty either. They're going to get better as the season goes on. They're the most likely winner of this league. They're grinding out victories without maybe playing overly well, which is a positive sign for them. But I wouldn't have been blown away by Dundalk at all on Friday night.
No, one thing I definitely found from it is that, like, I don't think there's anything to fear in Dundalk. If you look back, like, in seasons past, you would have been afraid of Galway, we'll say. You know, they only lost two games in that season. Cork only lost a handful of games as well, so like there would have been a lot to fear in that. I don't think we're going to see like a runaway victory from Dundalk this season.
I think the Cove game in a couple of weeks will tell us.
That'll be a great test.
If they roll Cove over, they've pretty much played everyone that's worth playing, and they've beaten them all or taken points off them all. Then you're looking at it and you're saying, right, well, Dundalk's only going to get stronger as the season goes on. They will win the league comfortably. But if Cove were to get a result, and I hope for the good of the league that they do, we'd love a good title race between Dundalk and Cove. Because I don't see anyone else putting it up to them, in all honesty. I think that would be good for the first division. But we'll see how it goes in a few weeks' time. But Dundalk coming out on top here.
And just a final point on Longford Town. Like, I think Longford Town going to have a much better season than we might have expected.
Delighted to see young Murta get a goal. He's been working his socks off.
Oh, working like a dog. Yeah, absolutely. But that goes for a lot of the other players as well. I thought, just to highlight Aaron Doran,
he's been excellent.
Sensational.
Yeah. Absolutely sensational. Yeah. Murta's not got a huge amount of service, so for him to get the goal, it's very welcome. Harps 5, Bray 0. We kind of touched on this when we're speaking about Murphy, but Jesus Christ, the Bray defending here was absolutely horrific. They went down to 10 men as well, but they were already 2-0 down at that stage. I mean, the defending for the goals is... I know we've probably said that over the last 3 years on this pod about Bray. It just seems to be something that's in their DNA, that they have this performance in them from time to time. But we were calling both of these teams limited. Harps winning 5-0. I think they'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. And it probably makes the departure of Darren Murphy a bit stranger. You know, I think that was their first win of the season.
Yeah.
Emphatic enough, 5-0 at home. What can you say? But I think, as you said, the defending was comical. Like, even the first goal, a couple of opportunities to clear the ball, but none taken. Just brutal stuff. Like,
there was a couple of great goals from Harps. Mikey Rose in particular, an absolute great strike. But, or Mikey Play, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it made easy for them. Could have been a lot more than five.
Well, it certainly could have been. But like, even if you look at that second goal.
That where the lad peels off him for the free header.
Yeah, the free header. Like, that is brutal stuff. Yeah. Like, there's only one man that can be hit. That I think there's only one Finn Harps man in the entire box.
Mm.
And there's like Cantwell and Max Murphy, two experienced players. The ball goes over Cantwell's head and Murphy does nothing.
Well, Murphy had a bad night.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't rate him at all. But I think it's so bad. Like, just a man standing there, lob it into him, buries it, and like leaves the key. Like, and particularly, to be fair, obviously he should have done that because he had a free header in the box, but he buries it into the bottom corner. The keeper hadn't a prayer of getting near it. But yeah, like, I think the whole evening was started off bad, and it got significantly worse for Bray, particularly with the sending off as well. But yeah, just a bad night at the office. But the defending, like, there were so many stupid decisions, like ball watching, not doing enough. Some really good finishing as well for Harps, as you highlighted. But like, I just thought the Bray were just dog shit.
Could be a long season for Bray.
I think so. Yeah.
Cove Ramblers 2, Athlone 0. A scoreline that probably doesn't tell the true tale here. Athlone had quite a few chances, and it was only a mistake. I think it was Herman Fuentes Rodriguez with a misplaced square pass to Shane Griffin, and he takes his goal lovely. But that was late enough on to get the second goal.
Yeah,
and Athlone still had more chances after that as well. So probably a case of what could have been from an Athlone point of view, but for Cove, this is a big win for them.
Yeah, it's a very good win. Would have been a difficult one for Athlone. Like, they've obviously, you know, got over their shite at the start. I think we were talking in the last few weeks about Cove like getting up and running, and they seem to have done that now. I think
like Dundalk, though, they haven't been very convincing in some of their games. Barring the Longford game where they won 5-0, it's been a lot of games where, you know, a flip of a coin is decided. You think of the first game against Treaty, you think of this game. There's other games that probably escape my memory, but there's been games where it could have gone either way. I don't think they've been maybe as dominant as you would expect either.
No. And that's it. I think the domination is going to come later on, like as the season progresses. As you said, like, the game to watch is going to be the Dundalk Cove game in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
that's going to be the major test for both of the teams. But I don't know. Like, I think they have enough to be putting teams even around them to decide. Like, I think they have the quality to dominate games. I know you mentioned like they haven't been. Some of the games here are a flip of a coin. Like, if I know Athlone had a goal ruled out for offside.
Yeah.
You know, if that had gone, would Cove have been able to recover? Possibly.
But they're scoring plenty of goals, so they probably have only had the 1-0 against Kerry, but plenty of goals in their other games, so they've got the quality there. Just will they be consistent enough throughout the season?
I don't think there's enough of teams in the division to really challenge them. Like, they need to be doing a good job, but we'll say Wexford and Athlone, and we'll say Treaty early on. Once they're doing jobs on those teams, then I think they'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, but it's been a bit of an up and down start for Athlone. Wexford 1, Kerry FC 2. History made. Kerry win their first ever game on grass.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, is this their first ever away win? But it's not. Their first ever win was away in Athlone.
Athlone, yeah.
But yeah. Just a bizarre start to the game for Wexford. Really well taken goal into the top corner. I can't remember
Joe Adams. Yeah.
Yes.
Classy little baller.
You were impressed with him against us, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Just need to get fit.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, for Kerry to be 2-0 up after 5 minutes.
What's going on for the second goal? What is going on there?
Well, I think if Robert Town scored a goal like that, I'd be happy enough. Like, it's just a bit of chaos.
I think even Bray would be embarrassed by that defending.
Yeah, there was a lot of statues there for Wexford. I don't really know what was going on. The ball kind of just dropped down into the 6-yard box, and there was probably a couple of Kerry players that could have booted it over the line. Like, it just seems to have been a bit of statue-esque defending there. Particularly, like, the keeper isn't a feature in it.
I can't at all see where he is. He's, like, buried in a mountain of bodies somewhere, yeah.
He's buried in it, but, like, he's not a feature in that whole palaver in the 6-yard box. Like, that's bad. You know what I mean? Another ball comes in for corner and it's over his head and he's under pressure and there's players on top of him and all of that. But, like, you have to be getting involved. You know, you can't be just, oh, I was blocked off or any of that other shit. Like, that's just an unrunner, particularly after conceding after the first minute. But look, even I was quite disappointed with Wexford. Like, some of the stuff that they were doing, like, they were very careless with possession at times. You know, could have been further behind. Not a good night at the office for Wexford at all. But would you say that this is? I wouldn't be overly surprised with this, like, from a Kerry point of view. Like, you were?
No, I wouldn't be massively surprised either. No,
Which is a good thing for Kerry. Like, they seem to be maturing a little bit and getting a bit better. But
I suppose Wexford has been a bit of an up and down start from them, but it is a young enough team. Just looking at their lineup from the other night, Caelum Harnett at the back, 17. Josh Lyons, 19. Callum Flynn, 19. Ryan Kelly, 18. As I said before, these are the kind of things that happen at first division level. You're going to get these kind of results when you've got so many young players. And I think you're right. The fact that Kerry are getting more experienced heads like Joe Adams in the door, I think these sort of results are more achievable for them now.
Yeah.
The last game won't take long to talk about, Gary. UCD nil, Treaty nil. I watched back the highlights, and we often talk about games being great advertisements for the league. I think this game should have never seen the light of day. It should have been like that Roy Keane tape that time on MUTV where they destroyed it. Never seen the light of day. That's what should have happened with the highlights of this match.
Yeah, look, I think probably the big thing about this game was the state of the pitch there.
Yeah, everything from the pitch to the football to the nil-nil, just burn it. Just get rid of it.
Yeah. Delete the stream. Look, I think poor enough result. Probably an okay result for UCD. Like they haven't got it together at all.
Well, they're bottom now.
The season. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would have said okay result for Treaty, to be honest. They've probably dropped a few silly points so far this season. Yeah. They could be further up the table. You probably, like Wexford, we just said, have had an up and down season, and they're third and Treaty are fourth. You'd probably, on performances, you'd think maybe Treaty deserve to be that bit higher up the table. But for UCD, yeah, it's been a very lackluster start.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, just not good enough. But yeah,
three goals scored in five games.
Yeah, when are the Town playing them? Do you know?
Soon, I think.
In Bishopsgate, is it?
I have the fixtures here in front of me. 1 second. Their next game is away to Kerry. Then they're at home to Bray. It's not for 12th of April. Yeah, in Bishopsgate. It's another four games time.
Hopefully they'll won't have got it together, and they won't be getting it together.
Even that
though,
it's a tough run there. Like Kerry away, okay, at home to Bray, they should get something there. Away to, yeah, or a home to Dundalk, and then away to Longford. they need to start picking up a few results soon, UCD, no doubt about it.
But, yeah, because they'll be absolutely miles off it.
Yeah.
You know, the season will be cooked by then.
That was the first division games from the weekend. We're going to come back to the first division later when we're playing the predictions league, but we're going to give the Premier Division listeners something to feed on now, because they've gone a week or so without any Premier Division content with the international break. So we're going to start looking ahead to the Premier Division games coming up this weekend. We're going to start the Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Predictions League. Last week we had Git, the Pats fan, playing, and he came out on top. He got two correct scores last week, the Dundalk Longford game and the Cove at Lone game. So he got 6 points. Gary, you only got one correct result. That was Cove Athlone, so you only got the point. And I managed to get three correct results, so I got 3 points. So the latest score, I'm still bottom on 20. You're second on 23. Listeners top of the table on 28 points. And we're joined this week by, very fittingly, a Finn Harps fan. And that is Edward O'Callaghan Patton. So if he does well in this, who knows? He might get the buzz to take up the job. But let's start with Waterford against St. Pat's. Edward going for a 2-0 win to Pat's in this.
Yeah, I think that's a very strong prediction here. You know, down to the RSC, not a great place to go for an away team. I think this will be a lot tighter than 2-0 to Pats, to be quite honest. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here, and I think that it's still be a good result for Pats.
Yeah, I can see there's been a bit of a goal fest, to be honest. Waterford probably weren't at their best before the break. They had that hammered against Bowes and then a deserved defeat against Galway. Pats had a very easy game against Bowes. I'd like to think they're not going to get it as easy here. Was there a point you wanted to make there?
Yeah, just even on that Bowes game, like look, I watched the highlights there again because I was talking to someone else about it, and Waterford had like a load of chances in that game. They were just very unlucky. You know, I'll actually review, or I'll go 2-2 in this game.
You're going to go 2-2.
Yeah, I think like they did create a load of chances. You have Amand who can bury it, particularly in the 2-2. I think this is going to be a very good game, but I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park for Pats at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to follow you at 2-2, but I said it'd be high scoring. I'm only going 1-1. I think it could be more than that. I'd say 2-2 is not a bad prediction, Gary. I'm just going a different route to you. I'm just not sure Pats are fully there yet in their development. But Edward thinks they are. He's going 2-0 to Pats. So three different predictions there to start things off. That's good. Right, Sligo Rovers against Shelburne.
This game is on Saturday, I think, in Sligo. So
Shells are floundering a bit before the international break.
Yeah, I think, like, how beneficial is the break going to be for them?
This game is Friday, by the way.
Is it? Why?
Yeah.
Or are the games on Monday, is there?
The women could be playing on Saturday, maybe, are they?
Oh, good man, yeah. Sorry, folks. I think this is going to be a tough night at the office for Shells. I can see Sligo getting something out of this game. I think they're playing the Shells at a good time. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here.
You're going 1-1. I'm going to go with Shells to bounce back after the break. 1-0 Shelburne.
Yeah, I can see that as well. I don't know, I just have a feeling Sligo could get something out of here. Your pal Kavanagh might get on the score sheet.
Edward going for a 2-1 win to Shells. That brings us on to a huge game for Alan Reynolds and Bohemians as they host Galway United.
Yeah, I don't see them getting out now of this game. Now, I think I did write them off completely for the Waterford game. And they came out on the right side of that, but that was two penalties as well. I can't see Bohs getting out now of this. From what we've seen of Galway so far this season, like, they are
unbeaten.
Well, apart from that, which is up, but that's obviously very important. they are savages.
Could they go up here and bully Bohs?
Oh, bully! Are you asking that as a question? No, that's my point. I think they're going to absolutely drive them into the ground. I think, like, Bohs are going to have nightmares about this game, you know, until the summer. Like, I think it's going to be a real, real test for Bohemians to stand up against. Like, I don't think they're physically near it. Like, I can see Talb getting put through the net out into the next week. Like, you know, I just see in my mind's eye just Galway completely dominating them in every facet of the game. You know, especially from, I don't know, we were talking before about Galway from set pieces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Imagine like a hickey just bursting through a load of soft balls, lads. Like, I'm going to go for 3-0 too much?
It is, yeah. They've only scored one in their last 1, 2, 3, 4 games. They've scored one exactly in all of them.
One goal in each game?
Yeah.
Yeah, but who are they playing in those games?
Drogheda, Shelburne, Derry and Waterford.
Yeah, far superior teams than Bohs. I'll go 2-0.
Bohs bet Waterford 3-0.
No. 2-0 Galway.
Right, I'm going to go 1-0 Galway, and Edward's going the same. No one back on Bohs there, which is worrying. Cork City against Drogheda, which is the live game. And just to point out that we put out a tweet earlier announcing the latest batch of games to be aired by Virgin Media. And we had complaints from some people saying, Dublin-centric. Half the league is Dublin club, so I don't know where you expect Virgin Media to show the games from. They've been in Galway this season. They've been in... They'll be in Drogheda this Friday.
They've been in Cork,
I think, have they?
No, they've been in Waterford.
Waterford, yeah.
They've been in Drogheda as well, haven't they?
Well, they will be this week. Or no, sorry, this is in Turners. Yeah, I think... Look, they're going to get around to everyone.
There's a game a week. Leave it alone, lads. Yeah. Jesus Christ. And actually, when we were talking about this before we came on, like, I think you were telling me this and I was like, all right, okay. And then I was like, oh, there's two games in Tala, one on the Monday, one on the Friday, and you were like, who are they playing? One against Bohs and one against Shells. Why would you not put them on the telly? Do you know what I mean?
Like, actually, this week, Cork against Drogheda is the only game not involving a Dublin club.
Oh, well then.
So there you go.
Yeah. They picked exactly the game that you're all bitching about. Oh, God. Can't please anybody.
Right, anyway, on the game itself, Cork have, I think, pleasantly surprised us so far, as have Drogheda. Were both teams settling for a draw here?
I think it's for somebody, I feel like Cork could do a job here. But I definitely see Drogheda scoring. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Cork.
Oh, I'm surprised at that now, I have to say. Anyone winning, I'd see Drogheda winning the game.
Yeah, I just have a feeling here, you know, Turner's Cross, rocking. Yeah, I can just see them getting it done now, particularly with the television cameras there as well. It'd be great for them to get a good win at home on telly, back in the Premier Division. Yeah, 2-1 to Drogs. Cork, excuse me.
I'm going to go 1-1 here, and Ed, we're going the same. I bumped into quite a good few Cork City fans out beyond in Bulgaria, and one of them was showing me his jersey. And he's like, "What do you think of this?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's grand, yeah." He goes, "Do you notice anything about it?" I was like, "Not really, no."
It's dirty.
AliExpress.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, wow, the league has got to the point where we know for jerseys. Now, I did actually notice then, I was like, the crest does look a little bit small. He's like, yeah, apart from that, you wouldn't notice. I was like, right, well, I wouldn't be condoning this now. I'd rather, you know, support your club or whatever. But I was like, Jesus, we're now getting to the stage where you see things on Facebook about, oh, please watch out for ticket scams. You know, yeah. we've got IPTV, you know, we've got that issue. We've got AliExpress. We've got all the issues that the big leagues have got now.
I think some of the Bo's jerseys were on some of the fake jersey sites before.
I'm not going to say great to see, but you know, we're mainstream now. Even the scammers are getting in on the League of Ireland.
Yeah, well, look, fair play to them.
Right, that brings us to Rovers against Derry.
Big test for Derry. Yeah. I can only really see one. I can only see a home win here, to be quite honest. I can't see why, you know, unless you know, the break has done Derry the world of good, but I don't see.
Maybe they had another team night out, not a few pints.
I just don't see how they could have turned it around. It would have wanted to have been an absolutely mental week off, but. I'm going to go with 2-1 win to Rovers.
Yeah, following you on that. And Edward going for a 2-1 win to Shamrock Rovers. And he's a Harps fan, don't forget. So he definitely wouldn't have been going for a Derry win there.
Yeah, but like, I just don't see enough in Derry yet. I think it's going to be a very, I know we've highlighted it already, but I think it's going to be an extremely disappointing season for Derry.
I agree.
Yeah, don't see that in here.
Right, back to the first division. Bray against Cove. This could be a bruising night for Bray.
Yeah, Cove going up to play on the new AstroTurf there. I can't see how Bray do anything here. Like, the man sent off, whoever that was from last week.
Even if you take away the goals they conceded against Harps the other night, I know they were playing Dundalk the week before, but the goals they gave away at Dundalk were absolutely shocking as well. So they are just leaking goals. Cove, we said, maybe aren't playing that well, but they've got the quality, they're scoring goals. They're going to get chances here against this Bray team.
Oh, absolutely. But I think they're going to get so many opportunities. Like, they're probably looking forward to this game for a while.
Yeah.
I can see here that Edward has gone 3-0 to Cove. I can see more, to be quite honest. I think it's going to be a very long night at the office for Bray. Particularly, like, if anyone hasn't seen the highlights, look back at some of the goals that Bray conceded against Harps. It's dire, dire, dire defending. Like, it's, you know, some of the goals are well taken. As you mentioned, Place's goal was really good. But, like, you know, some of the ball watching, some of the pricking in their own box is just desperate stuff. And I think a team like Cove are going to put them down. I'm going to go 4-0 to Cove.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 to Cove. And Edward going 3-0, as you said. Athlone against Finn Harps.
I think Athlone will bounce back here. I'd be more looking at the Edward taking care of his own team. Fair play to him. But I think how bad Bray were made Finn Harps look a lot better than they were than they are. And I think this is going to be a proper test here for Harps. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Athlone.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1 to Athlone, and Edward going 1-0 to Finn Harps. Dundalk against Wexford. Going to go to this Friday.
I'd say, yeah. Go ahead. What's your prediction?
Been disappointed with Wexford so far. Dundalk will only get better the more games they play. But I could see this been maybe another hard working, hard shift for Dundalk. I think if Wexford are looking back at the game against Longford, they'll have been given the blueprint there. I think they'll go up there and they'll be quite rigid and defensive, but Dundalk should have the quality. So I'll go for another 2-1 win here.
I don't see 2-1 here.
They really need to get Dobbsy back on the pitch as soon as they can.
Oh, big time. Big time. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Dundalk. Well, they've done that a couple of times this season already, but I think they'll have, just have enough to get over Wexford, but I think it's going to be a tough night. Probably a bit of a slug of a game, to be quite honest.
Yeah. And Edward going 1-0 to Dundalk as well. Right, we're flowing through this. Kerry against UCD. Great chance here for Kerry.
Honest to God. Absolutely honest to God. Like I'll say, the, you know, AstroTurf down in Kerry. I think at a great time to play UCD.
Yeah.
I think they'll have a great opportunity to get, to really put it up to them. And I think it's going to be a long night at the office for UCD, particularly travelling all the way down there. I'm going to go for, I think, 2-1 to Kerry.
Right. I just don't think they'll capitalise, to be honest. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Just trying to think about previous meetings between these two. Let me have a look. I don't think Kerry have ever beaten them down there, have they?
I don't think so.
No, UCD, that's what I was thinking. UCD have won the last three and drawn one, so they've never lost them. It's a bit of a bogey side for Kerry.
Most teams are bogey sides for Kerry, come on. Like. No, I'm going to stick with 2-1 to Kerry. I think it's a great opportunity for them.
One player I want to highlight again, by the way, I should have said this earlier when we were reviewing their game against... against Wexford, but that young chap Luke Palmer looks a proper player.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I was very impressed with him against Longford, and he played a big role the other night again, so until they get Kelleher back, I'm just not sure whether they're going to be clinical enough, so I think that's why I'm going.
When's he due back, do you think?
It should be shortly now, another couple of weeks I think, so
so
I'll go 1-1 there. Edward's going with you and going for a win for Kerry. He's going 1-0. Longford against Treaty on the Saturday night, the only show in town.
The only show in town, yeah. The in the current derby. I think Longford could do it. As I said, they'll have Topku back, which would be great for that, for the town. Particularly, like, I think he played some minutes for the Turkey under-20s the other night.
Yeah, so, serious honour, yeah.
So that's obviously great to see. They're clearly watching the town games. Fair play to his lads. But yeah, look, I think it'll be a very tough game for Longford, make no mistake.
Yeah.
But I think they've shown enough for me that they could go out and get a result here. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Longford.
I'd just be a little bit worried about maybe the physicality of this Treaty side. I obviously saw them up in Dundalk a couple of weeks ago. I was impressed with the big man up front, Trippier, the Croatian chap. Obviously, the lad has started in great form in midfield as well, scoring plenty of goals. Lee Devitt.
Yeah.
I just worry that maybe they might be a bit physical for this young Longford team. That game at Dundalk would have took a lot out of their legs as well. They had to get through an awful lot of work, so I think Longford might need to score first in this one if they're going to get something out of the game. I just think Longford are still, and I said it going into the Dundalk game, still conceding too many goals. You know, conceding 2 goals a game or slightly more, just under 3 goals a game, I think it's very, very hard to win a huge amount of games when you've got a defensive record like that. So I'd have to fancy Treaty to score at least once here. I'm going to go 1-1. If I was going to favour any side to win it, probably would just be leaning Treaty's way. But at the same time, I think both me and you, and probably most people, do expect Treaty to drop off at some stage. So it'd be very nice if that could start this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Longford Town could be quite pleased with some of the performances. Like, obviously, that they dig in against Kerry and, you know, they weren't embarrass or anything like that. Like, I thought they played really...
It's really just the Cove game that you'd be putting a line through and saying, right, okay, that was a bad night at the office. But all the other games, I know Bray, maybe the first night wasn't fantastic, but they had the chances to get something out of that game. I think a lot of people felt they were unlucky losers on the night.
Yeah, right from that, that was the first game of the season. Like, you know,
some great performances against the likes of Athlone. Okay, the Kerry game, maybe a bit fortunate to get the 3 points. But as I said earlier, I think a lot of Longford Town fans are talking about how hard this team is working and the fact that they've been really entertained going out to the last couple of Town games, which is hugely important when you've got a team that maybe isn't expected to challenge for top honours. You know, they're keeping people engaged. So, yeah, I think there's things to be positive about at Longford this season, but I'm not sure they'll win this game.
No, they will. 2-1 Town. On the Town.
Hope you're right. Edward going for 2-1 win to Longford as well, so we'll have him back.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But, yeah, look, that's the Between the Stripes LOI podcast predictions. Before we go, we don't have a hotline this week, but we did put out a tweet during the international break just asking First Division fans how would they rate their team's start to the season. And we got lots of replies to this. So thanks to everyone who got in touch. We're just going to read a few of these out. And hopefully Cove can keep pace with Dundalk and get the results against them to keep it close at the top. For us, he's a Bray fan, very worried. Physicality looks an issue and conceding a lot of goals every week. And that's one thing I've noticed about that Bray team. They do look very, very slight. The Men Who Say Football podcast, Dundalk FC Fancast. Dundalk's early dominance is amazing, given where the club was 6 months ago. A mostly teenage squad playing very attractive football and getting results is a huge bonus when most fans would have been grateful just to see the club surviving in any form. And I think that's a really, really good point. Emmett, who is a Wexford fan, I'm fairly sure, okay paying the price for such a small squad. Julian Canny, Bray are a big disappointment. An opening day win against Longford and a very lucky one in Kerry. Only one goal scored in their other games. Good to see Kerry making progress. Jay Finesse, hoped Harps would have had a better start. Maybe after Bray we can pick up some good form. But unfortunately they've had a bit of a setback tonight, as we talked about earlier. Simon, the Dundalk fan here, overall very happy. Would like more goals. We need to be more clinical up front or we will drop points in games. We dominate possession. I would agree with that as well. Here's one I want to put to you, Gary. DFC retro programs against Dundalk. Still can't make up my mind on the standard of the First Division. Is it poorer than last few years or just a tough league? Dundalk haven't really fired on all cylinders yet and down to the bare bones against Longford yet should still be on 18 points. Can't complain about 16 from 18. Superstar Kilduff, a breath of fresh air. I think we touched on this on a recent podcast and I said to you that I was actually pleasantly surprised with the entertainment value a lot of the games me and you have been going out to. Now, I know they're predominantly Longford Town matches, but we spoke a lot in the last two seasons about, you know, games been really, really poor standard, whereas a lot of the teams I've seen so far, okay, Bray have probably taken a backward step from last season, but Kerry have improved. Longford looked like they might be a bit better than last season. Dundalk have gone in there and no one knew what kind of shape they'd be in. They've started very well. Cove are starting to get more. Okay, UCD have been a big disappointment, but Treaty of surprises. I've been pleasantly surprised with the standard of the division so far.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think there's been...
It's more watchable, I feel, this season.
Yeah, well, look, I think we've been treated in Longford to a couple of really enjoyable games. The Kerry game, you know, 3-2, red card, penalty, missed, you know, all of that stuff. Really good stories. The Athlone game for Longford as well has been really was a really enjoyable game, even though that was a draw. But I think, like, there's been a bit more about the games. I don't really know what... It's hard to put my finger on it. Like, is the quality of football that much better than last season?
No. Probably not, no. But no. As I said, entertainment-wise...
Entertainment-wise, yeah, exactly. I think there's just a bit more crack. There's been a bit more bounce about it. I think there's been a slight improvement, really. But I think the overall event for each of the games that I've been at has been really good. Like, I found myself, like, nervous in Oriel Park the other night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like tense, which I probably wouldn't have been that often last year. So, you know, it feels, the vibes are better, let's say.
Yeah.
Maybe not the actual content of the pitch, but it definitely feels better.
Yeah. Jace Lee, frustrating. Treaty effect away four certain points, beating Cove 2-1 with 9 seconds left to lose. It was criminal. Equally, the last minute loss at home to 10-man Wexford should be much better positioned. And I think we'd both agree with that. Paul, mixed start for Kerry. picked up good away results to Cove and Wexford, but disappointing results at home to Bray and 10-man Dundalk. Dundalk leading the way is definitely no shock given their financial advantage with the European solidarity money. Luke Kennedy, who's a treaty.
They don't get that, do they?
I'm not sure on that either. Sorry, I shouldn't have read that. That's Paul's tweet anyway. Luke, no one gave treaty a chance before a ball was kicked. Have shown they can give any team a game. The two games they've lost, they could have easily gotten something, if not should have gotten something from them. 2-0 down to Dundalk, drew 2-2, hopefully more to come. PJ, solid start by Kerry, really should have more points though, as all losses have been narrow. Played against 10 men in Dundalk for large spells, unlucky not to have a few penalties against Bray and really threw away the game against Longford. Stephen, very happy with Ramblers so far. More games will hopefully bring more cohesion and understanding, which can only be a good thing given the investment from FC 32. Shane, good start by Treaty. You need to break the habit of conceding last minute goals. 4 points dropped at home because of it. John, Dundalk's start to the season is the best anyone could have expected. They'll only improve as they become more familiar with each other. Aki, UCD even bottom is honestly bizarre to me. Never in a million years did I or any League of Ireland fan see that at this stage. Kieran, if Harps are considered limited, what does that mean Bray are? And Aina will give him the last word. He's an Athlone fan. He said, shite, nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, like I think we're still right about the limited Harps team and limited Bray team. Like, I just think it's going to be, as we've seen already, or mentioned many times, that
are Longford not limited too?
Yeah, they are.
You just put them three teams, you worry where the goals is going to come from. That's, I think, what the word limited really sums up.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of endeavour for Longford Town. I think they're working extremely hard, and I obviously watching them more than any other team. But like, I feel like they're working harder than some of the other teams. Mm. Obviously, like as the season goes on, I'll see Bray up a few more times in Harps and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just think it's kind of more understood with Longford Town. I think maybe that's our own biases coming through, but I think I feel there's more potential at Longford Town this season.
Yeah. Right, so look, that's where we'll leave it for this week. Well, I know I've been promising guests now for the last couple of weeks, so I do apologise for that, but it's been hectic with the international break and been away and that, so it's a bit of a shorter pod this week, but look, some people tell us our pod is too long, so here's a nice shorter one for you this week.
And don't forget, you're 31 years of age now.
No, good birthday weekend. I have to say, got to three games over 4 days, and lots of pints drank over the last week, and lots of shite eating. So back to work today, and back to the gym tomorrow. So back to reality, very much.
Very good. Yeah. Well, look, Longford Town will treat you to a win on Saturday.
Please God, yeah. Look, I'll be at a couple of games over the weekend. Oriel Friday, Longford Saturday. So I'll have content on all our social channels. On our Twitter, on our TikTok. So just search for Between the Stripes. Give us a follow there on those platforms. There'll be plenty of content behind the Members Club over the course of the weekend as well. So you can get details on the Members Club again on our social channels. But for this week, from Kieran Burke and from Gary Riley and from our sponsors, Quinn AV, a huge thanks for tuning in, and we'll speak to you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.